Today's episode is brought to you by our company, Sales Schema. Sales Schema helps agencies and B2B service companies build a reliable business development system through tasteful and targeted outreach. To learn more about us and check out our latest video training, go to salesschema.com/takecharge.
I think a lot of people can keep up with that long term, but I think most people can't. And they look at them and they try to emulate their business model and they just don't think through it. They never take the time to really sit down and think, where do I want to be in 5 years? And so I think like the biggest advice that I give is like, just do more planning, spend more time thinking and like less time just doing and head down. And you'll end up having very drastically different outcomes. Fast forward 3, 6, 12, 24 months.
Welcome to the Digital Agency Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Englander. My new book, Relationship Sales at Scale, is now live on Amazon Kindle, on paperback, as well as hardcover. So to tell you about the book and give you a little context, in a world of noise, competition, and skepticism, you've probably found that spamming your prospects with undifferentiated pitches, case studies, and sales collateral is a lot like yelling at a brick wall. And on the other hand, trying to go old school and completely personalize every touch point 100% is unrealistic and unsustainable because the few people you manage to contact might not even notice or care. And when life gets busy, your sales activity and your team's activity tends to grind to a halt. Your pipeline runs dry and stagnation, feast and famine, all these bad things, they can all happen. So what if the answer is actually combining the new school with the old? And instead of going in cold, how much faster could you grow if you could identify and open doors with the prospects who live within your circles of influence and are already primed to trust and do business with you? So this book, Relationship Sales at Scale, is the new selling philosophy for our age. Bold statement, right? But it is, because it marries the timeless power of tribe-based trust with digitally enabled scale so you can open doors tastefully and convert prospects consistently, all without spamming anyone. So it's written by me, Dan Englander. I'm the CEO and founder of this company, Sales Schema, and the book's stories, strategies, and hands-on resources are grounded in thousands of outreach campaigns conducted for clients since 2014. That's among almost 90 clients to secure opportunities between our clients and hard-to-reach prospects, including the leaders of the largest companies on earth. A few things you're going to learn. You're going to learn how to balance personalization and scale to keep your pipeline full and achieve reliable and predictable growth. You're going to learn how to condense 5 years of networking into a single week-long campaign so you can batch up warm referrals into specific ideal accounts. You're going to learn how to de-risk conversations. That's the emphasis for this, with highly skeptical prospects by leveraging strong personal commonalities instead of boring publicly available information like, hey, I saw you tweeted about this thing last week. That doesn't work. And you're going to be able to leverage dozens of actual copy examples, campaign strategies, and online resources so you can launch and close deals in a matter of weeks. So Relationship Sales to Scale will reshape the way you think about sales and business development, whether you are an owner, a dedicated salesperson, or in any growth-focused role. This book is a fit for the owners and salespeople in professional service companies and other B2B service and or software areas, assuming you're going after high lifetime value. So this is not for small and medium-sized businesses. So with that said, if you would like to learn more and pick up the book on Kindle or paperback or hardcover, and eventually we'll have it out in audio before too long, you can do that by going to salesschema.com/RSAS. Again, that's salesschema.com/RSAS. So today on the show, I'm very excited to welcome Joe Troyer. I was fortunate enough to join Joe on his show, Show Me the Nuggets, which I definitely encourage you to check out. It's super useful. And Joe is coming at this from a really interesting background. He started, as you'll hear, in the relatively early days of web and kind of the early 2000s, built an agency there, went on to become partner and head of growth at Invisible PPC. And then there was yet another agency. So in aggregate, he's built and sold three agencies. He's also kind of segued those into some really compelling software products that slotted in perfectly with the sort of work he was doing in the agency. And now he helps agency owners and other entrepreneurs in a lot of different ways. So I think you're going to learn a lot from Joe's journey and his perspective. We really can't get enough of these sorts of tales of successfully building and selling agencies and all the hard work and the sweat, blood, and tears that goes into that. And I think you're going to learn a lot from Joe. So without further ado, please give it up for Joe Troyer. Joe, nice to have you on the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. Super excited. It's been a couple months since we chatted.
Yeah. And thank you again for having me on Show Me the Nuggets. That was a lot of fun. It's great to have you on. And, you know, I know you're coming at this from a background in the agency space. You've exited multiple agencies. You built a software business and other businesses. So with that in mind, can you give everybody a little background for those that don't know you?
Yeah, sure. So I dropped out of college dropout, going to school, couldn't figure out what I wanted to do, knew it had to be in some type of internet marketing, so to speak. But back then, that was like 2007, 2008. Like it didn't exist, right? So the hot thing there was websites, right? Everybody knew that this online wave was happening. So, you know, I dropped out of school and started picking up websites, like basically went to like a certificate type of program, supposed to be like 2 years long, completed it in like 8 months. Right before like I finished though, typical entrepreneur, I'm like starting to question myself, starting to think through things like, is this really going to work? Did I just waste like the last 7 months of my life? Should I finish this? I'm on track. I could finish it in like a month. I'm like, let's go see like the commercial viability of this. So I'm like, let's go see if I can get some web design, web development contracts. And fast forward week two later, and I got $12,000 in contracts sitting in my hand. And I'm like, okay, like now I got to figure out how to fulfill. So fast forward then, like kind of giant leap, started doing marketing, started doing more of the SEO side. I really liked that. And then ultimately in 2012, I had a friend that was in the software and kind of more marketing and selling stuff and training to digital marketing agencies. And he bugged me for like 2 years, tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, man, my customers would really like your call tracking platform that you guys have in-house. Would you share that with everybody? Would you share your systems and processes? And I just told him no. And then he sent me a text message of a picture of a house. And I'm like, oh, is that yours? Congratulations. And he's like, yeah, I just bought it in cash with the course sales of selling this agency course. And I'm like, what the heck? Cash? Like, so I'm like, all right, let's talk. You know, fast forward, we did a webinar together, crashed GoToWebinar, did $80,000 in sales live. And I'm like, okay, great. This is really cool. Like the sales are crazy, great income opportunity. But the thing for me is I've been helping local business owners for so long, helping agency owners was like really refreshing, right? Like, because it was like the same person. I felt like we were cut from like the same cloth. It was like, oh my gosh, I've been looking for this call tracking forever. Thank you. Like, it was just a different type of customer. That's kind of it in a 500-foot view.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for that. So that makes a lot of sense. So you're basically, you know, coming out of like an early career mode back when, you know, websites were getting big, you start the agency, you move into marketing. Can you talk about building that call tracking platform? Because I think a lot of the times, you know, our listeners and people we talk to, are you either using off-the-shelf stuff that doesn't do things well enough, or they build something on their own, or they start one of these projects and it falls apart. So like, what did it take to build that platform? What inspired that? And then how did you get it to a place where you could actually like put it on the market and use it for others and stuff?
100%. So yeah, I mean, we really scratched our own itch, right? And the itch there was like, it was really hard to go pitch our marketing clients that they needed to spend, you know, $1,000, $2,000 a month just on call tracking on top of the services that they were paying us for. And then potentially on top of paying like for ad spend. It was a problem to sell, but we know that as marketers, we needed it to really do a good job and to be able to understand what's working and what's not and be able to get them the results that they wanted. And so it was kind of this like adversarial relationship where it's like, I'm going to hold you accountable as the marketer to get the results, but I don't want to pay for that bill over there. Right. Yeah. And so like it just became a problem that we had to figure out how to solve. It was a problem for months and months. And then we stumbled across Twilio, right? I'm on the web surfing one day. Twilio was like non-existent. Nobody knew who it was. And like, I found this programmable API for the telephone, right? And that's what they called themselves, a telephony API back in the day. Yeah. And I was like, wait a second, like phone numbers, I think they've come down a lot since, but I think phone numbers were $2 a month. And the usage at that point was like 2 or 3 cents a minute. And that was like anywhere from a quarter to a tenth of what I was paying, depending on which platform we were using at the moment for each client. Light bulb, like, holy cow, this is crazy. If we could figure this out, it's game over. And at that point, we had like in-house I wouldn't even say that they're software developers, more like web techs helping us build, you know, very simple websites and things like that. We literally built the application in-house with one of those web techs. I wouldn't even say that they were a software developer.
Right. That's super interesting. So it's almost like you already had this product validated because you're using it, you know, spending many thousands of dollars on it for all these clients across the board for a long period of time. So it's like, it's validated. It's not like you have to go out and test this new cockamamie idea. Like it's just straight up dollars and cents cheaper on a mass scale. So that makes a lot of sense. So from there, you know, you kind of move on to this product, and then you mentioned kind of exiting several more agencies. When did that happen? Like how did that fall into the mix, and what were you doing there?
I found that I could build and scale agencies. It was a lot of work, but the payoff was pretty good. But when it got to a certain level of scale, and it took me a while to figure this out, but I don't like running big companies. Right? Like I just don't. I don't enjoy it. It's stressful for me. My last exit actually was last November, and it was an agency. So it was called Invisible PPC. We had like 35 full-time people all over the world. And like me, management, so much red tape, that's really difficult and not my cup of tea. So the first agency that I sold was literally just me selling a book of business. Right? I built a web design company, started then getting into marketing. I moved from Ohio to South Florida. I couldn't service those people face-to-face anymore. And so I made a deal with a local company for them to buy the book of business from me. And it wasn't like the company, it was just the book of business. And then I got a revenue share on top of it until in perpetuity forever. That was the first exit. Second exit, I built a paper lead agency in the home services space. And it's really easy to sell. Right? Really hard to retain customers though. It's easy to sell because like everybody just wants the butter out the other side. They just want the leads coming in. They don't want to go through the process. They don't want to learn. They don't want to have to go through the pain points. And so pitching a contractor that you can send them leads tomorrow and they just pay for qualified, pre-vetted leads is really easy. But retention is hard because they've never had that before in their business. They don't understand what it's worth. And so we built that agency very quickly. And by me, I had a team in-house. We went from zero to $1 million run rate a year in 4 months. But the problem was like just as fast as we were bringing people on, they were falling out the other side. And the retention was awful. The lesson that we learned is like we ended up having a lot of uneducated customers that always just wanted more and wanted it for less, right? And instead of being able to turn and say like, oh, well, Google's the enemy or the platform's the enemy, Facebook is the enemy, we were the enemy because we weren't doing it for them. We weren't helping them. We were just selling them the leads. And so we built some sustainability, but very quickly, like I learned like, man, like I built this business that I'm not really having fun in, right? Like this is hard work.
Yeah, that's a really interesting experience. And I kind of like, it begs a lot of questions that I think about sometimes where do you think that there's obviously such a thing as a bad business, right, on paper. And then there's such a thing as like a bad business for you emotionally as you as an individual, right? So if you're thinking about like that business, do you think it was a bad business in both ways or was it just a bad business in like one of those ways? Is there somebody that could have just managed that retention and as a sidebar, there is that like heavy emotional cost of a low retention business, even if it makes sense on paper, right?
Sure. So, I mean, I think we did build a group of core customers that stuck, that paid every month, that always wanted more, that were good, never complained about price, always wanted to scale with us, the unicorns in the business, right? But if I really stripped out the numbers, those were probably like maybe 30 or 35 grand a month in revenue. And like the rest of it, the other two thirds or something like that came from customers that weren't long term, didn't have the mindset that I wanted and really were problematic. So I think like, yes, I could have scaled it back to answer your question to that revenue. It would have done really well, but I'm not really excited about an agency business at that level of revenue. To me, it's very volatile as well at that because like I lose one customer and I could lose half or a third of my revenue.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And to sort of like think about, before we get to what you did next, you talked about exiting three different agencies and one of them you built like 35 FTEs before deciding, you know, running the bigger agency wasn't your cup of tea. Can you talk about the stages a little bit? Like there's a lot of different opinions on like phase one, you're trying to get from X to Y and you have this many employees. Like stage two is something else. Like, what does that 35 number look like? What do you think happens when, and what's the point at which you're like, nope, I'm done? You know, like, how would you describe those phases?
Yeah, I guess for me, I think I have a very different viewpoint of those phases than a lot of people. I figured out by being involved in these different agencies and buying and building and selling them, and one of them being a wholesale business where we did white label fulfillment, I have a different viewpoint than most people do. I think that way too many agencies are too top heavy. They have way too many team members. You know, their markup is awful. Their margins are awful, and they don't really do that good of a job for their customer. I think from a leverage standpoint, there's a lot more that can be done to get better results for your customers and to deliver a better return on investment while you have less people to manage and deal with and worry about as well. So I think, like, you know, when you first get started, I'm very sales focused. That's what allows me to build these companies fast and to scale. I think first step is hiring an SDR. The way that you're going to get leverage is leverage on your time. I think the easiest thing that you can buy back that's a no-brainer is an SDR, sales development representative. And like, if you're doing cold outreach or you're doing inbound, no matter what it is, like, that SDR can take a lot of weight off of you, free up a lot of bandwidth. And then on the flip side, I think the first hire in fulfillment is somebody that probably is a little higher pay grade than just an SDR, but that can help you really nail your systems and processes. But from a leverage standpoint, like, how do I get the customer the best return on investment, but also like with me doing the least amount of work? Everybody focuses on like, what's the 100 things that we have to do instead of what are the 5 that are going to move the needle, right? Yeah. And like, just do really well at those 5 things.
Yeah, let's dig into that a little bit. And first, to shamelessly plug us, we are looking to be a better, faster, cheaper version than the SDR. So anyway, that shameless plug out of the way. Thinking about, you know, Visible PPC, which I think, if I have that right, that was the one you built to 35 employees. So obviously you've moved on to other stuff that is more compelling to you and so on since then. But let's say like you had the gun to the head, you had to build that agency again now in the year 2022. What would that look like? Like, are there things you would do differently to make it less top heavy or use technology, or like, how do you think about that?
Exactly what you said. I think use technology, make it less top heavy. You know, when that business got started, we were in a blue ocean too, right? Now it's a red ocean. How do you get back to blue ocean would be another big thought. And so for us, as an example, all that we did was Google Ads fulfillment for agencies. So what we found is that became very commoditized. So we actually built software that does and gets a lot of the results that a person does without having to actually compete with any PPC manager or any agency. The agency can slide in, sell a service, not look like an agency, using software and AI, and actually get a better result. And they don't have to compete with anybody. That, I mean, think about value proposition, is a win for the end customer. They don't have to fire their marketing agency. They don't have to fire the in-house marketing person. It's a win for the agency because they get to get a sale. They get to get their foot in the door. They get to build a relationship to hopefully cross-sell, upsell other services. And then ultimately, it's a win for us selling the software. And from a valuation standpoint, I'm playing a much different game selling software and software multiples versus a services-based business.
And there's so many places to go with the software side of that. And the more people I talk to that have done really well in the agency space and then kind of moved on to other things, it's usually software. And it's sort of like because of the multiples, but the multiples are there because software scales better and it's so valuable and all the things that we know. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Like, how much do you feel like having that agency experience was necessary to build all this software? Like, if you were fresh out of college or whatever, would you go into the software space, or do you still think you would have had to go the agency route first?
Still the agency route, man. I think the fastest way to like 100 grand, 200 grand a year, very leveraged freelancer agency is great because you get paid to learn, you get paid to understand the problems, you understand the marketplace. And then like going from there to SaaS, I think is a beautiful, beautiful transition because you understand the marketplace, you understand the problems, you can talk the language, you can talk the lingo, and you know the problems to solve.
Yeah. And it also seems like the push to software feels so much more intense because of the labor squeeze, but that goes up and down. The labor market can change, but it's like the difficulty of finding really talented, creative people and like retaining them in an organization is so tough that like anything, it seems like there's so much pressure going towards pushing agencies to develop technology or else find partners that can do it or something like that, as opposed to like retaining knowledge in an organization and keeping those people. It's like such a struggle, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I don't have a great question.
I think retaining good people, no matter what, is always going to be a problem. I think that what impresses me when I look at fast growing companies is the small companies. They're doing 50, 100 grand per employee a year. And that's what I'm really interested in, building long-term visions, long-term plays with long-term people, because that's fun to me. Like, that's exciting to me. I was listening to a podcast the other day. The guy runs like this morning show. And they're like, why would you commit to doing a morning show? Like, how do you ever go on vacation? Like, that's awful. Every single day, like, you're doing this morning show. And he's like, dude, it's like the greatest thing ever. Like, it's me and my four brothers. It's me and my four best friends. And every single day I get to wake up with them and have like the best time. Like, this is the best job that I could ever have. Thinking about that and like, what do you want to do? And for the long term that you could sustain, I think is really important, no matter if you're going to go in agency or in software.
As a quick break, I wanted to let you know about our newest video training, How to Take Charge of Your Agency's Future Revenue. By the end of this training, you're going to learn how we get 2 to 5 qualified appointments every week using tasteful and highly targeted email outreach. That might not sound like a lot, but once you understand the outreach napkin math, you're going to learn how this can lead to massive scale for your agency or B2B service company. In addition to that, you're going to learn the 6 steps for successful outreach campaigns based on everything that we've learned from working with more than 100 agencies since 2014. You're going to get the complete agency outreach tech stack so you understand the right tools for getting the right results. And you're going to see agency to brand email examples and get inspiration from high converting campaigns. So to get this 30-minute training, all you need to do is go to salesschema.com/take charge. Again, that's salesschema.com/take charge. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But it almost seems like it's such a choose your own adventure. And there's kind of back to the last thing that I was talking about, where it's like there's a business that's really good on paper, then there's a business that's really good for you personally. And then it's sort of like finding what matches those two things, right? So I think about that, like in terms of being a creative agency, like the classic model where it's like, we want every day to be fresh. We want to work with a different client, do a different project every day. That on paper is not a great business, right? Because you have to constantly reinvent the wheel. And it seems like you'd only want to do that if you honestly loved that process. But it seems like so many agencies do that, but they don't really like it, right? Yeah. Any thoughts on that? Like, how do you kind of ride that line between making something that scales and can grow and works on paper, but is also enjoyable, I guess, if you're not a software builder, let's say?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you could go down the productized services route. There's other ways where you could, as an agency, really own a good business that isn't just one time based. There just isn't always, you know, the never ending loop of new client, client finished, new client finished, right? I think a lot of people can keep up with that long term, but I think most people can't. And they look at them and they try to emulate their business model and they just don't think through it. They never take the time to really sit down and think, where do I want to be in 5 years? And so I think like the biggest advice that I give is like, just do more planning. Spend more time thinking and like less time just doing and head down, and you'll end up having very drastically different outcomes. Fast forward 3, 6, 12, 24 months.
Yeah, I love that. And I've been trying to kind of do a better job with thinking time. There's a great book that I've been plugging a lot called The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. You know that one? Yeah, but I'd love to hear, like, how do you plan? How do you think about things? Is there a ritual you go through, a process, books that have helped you, et cetera? Sure.
Yeah, that book is fantastic. I recommend it all the time. The whole thing is like, just do more planning and you'll end up or less stupid shit. And so for me, I found that every week I blocked off time on Friday. Friday for me is like, you know, some people call it like creator day, right? Or CEO day. I don't take any meetings except for one. I have one planning meeting and the rest of the day, nothing else formal. and scheduled at least in one, if not two blocks of the day, is some type of thinking exercise. And usually what I like to do is actually turn to a chapter in that book, and it gives me a framework to work with, because you can just pick up one, stop. All right, great. Here's a great framework for me to think through for the next hour, 2 hours. And I find that sometimes it's hard. You're trying to create something and you're not feeling creative and it just goes nowhere. And when that happens, I promise myself, I'll give myself an hour. And if I go three, great, I won't stop it. If I go an hour, I'm uninspired, I'm not getting anywhere, like, all right, it's done, I'm good. But putting in that time every single week, I think has been a game changer for me.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We'll make sure to link up that book again in the description, which is The Road Less Stupid. If you don't mind, you know, opening up a little, like, can you talk about the last big insight you had from that process and just kind of like what went into that and then so on?
The last big insight from that, I would say a good insight, not the last one, was selling invisible. Classic example. So for us, that business, its revenue wasn't the primary driver of happiness or value for us. It was the positioning of that brand in the marketplace. And it was the data that we had access to by being that brand in the marketplace. We're building software, AI and big data we talked about a little bit ago called PPC Predict. It's in beta now, but like we're building this software. It's reliant on that brand, its customers, and the MCC and Google Ads API connections that we have to power the big data and AI and the mathematician on staff to get this thing to market. At the same time, we're in a slog because we're running like that agency. We're running another software company that has launched. And we got this one in the backlog that we're working through trying to get to a stage where we can release it. And we're in that slog for like, it feels like 12 months, just getting nowhere because we're riding three horses. We're not riding one, we're riding three. Finally, we're like, well, screw it, we got to get rid of the agency. And the big takeaway was we can get rid of the agency, but we got to retain these three things strategically. We got to retain the customer list. We got to retain the data connections. And we have to have a safe pair of hands to send people after they work with us, because the next thing they're going to ask for is, all right, great. They got a great return on this product. Now, who do I go to run the Google Ads after that? We needed those three things in a buyer. And it was really a very strategic buyer. And we found that buyer. It took us about 4 months. We found that buyer. We're able to exit, take some money off the table. And now we're riding two horses. And not just that, but we got rid of all the big overhead and all the big staff, and let's call it 100K a month in commitment for team members and software and everything else to run that business.
Yeah, that's great. And thank you for sharing that. That must have been a nice morning or moment when you came to that conclusion. So that's great. And with that, can you talk about what those projects look like now, like what you're up to these days?
Yeah. So one piece of software is called PPC Ad Lab. And the other one's called PPC Predict. Both of them I co-founded with my business partner at Invisible PPC, Rob Warner. And both of those we run together with a small team, very, very powerful small team. And it's a lot of fun. So PPC Ad Lab officially turned 1 year old. It was its birthday last month. And this month is its 13th month in business. And we should hit $1 million run rate. So for a software business, that's crazy. Retention is really good. We found, again, like we hit almost to your point, we can almost skip like the product market fit phase because we know the industry so well. It's not an overnight win. It's not like flipping a light switch, but we're able to iterate so fast as well based upon customer feedback. So when people become buyers, they do it largely because of the trust that they have in Rob and I. But then very quickly, we're able to get real feedback and turn it into a product that it needs to be for true large-scale product market fit. That one's been really fun. That finds and tracks Google Ads advertisers for marketing agencies. So you can see what's happening in the markets that you're in or your clients are in. And then a lot of people are using it for prospecting too. So let's say that they're a productized agency and they're niche focused and they focus on HVAC companies. They'll use PPC Ad Lab to find all the advertisers in a city that are running Google Ads and prospect to those people instead of prospecting to the whole yard, the 200 HVAC companies in Seattle, and use that as kind of a qualifier. And then like all the data we collect, think about like an SEM Rush report or like a SpyFu report, but localized for an industry. We help them kind of create like these benchmark reports that help them then stand out in the marketplace as well. And like, we don't take credit for it. This is yours, right? This is white labeled. You become the expert. We want you to win, and we win by you winning.
I love that. And you touched on like an interesting point where it, like if you were to develop that technology as like a Silicon Valley company or somebody with no connection to that space, you would sort of be forced to like sell to people this new thing that they don't know about, that they don't understand, which means you'd probably have to give it away to free or something close to it in order to just test it, which means because people didn't pay for it, they probably wouldn't use it or take it that seriously, versus here, let me sell you this thing, what it's actually worth. And then you're that client actually uses it, and then you actually get feedback that's real, and then you can keep iterating on it. So I think that's a really good point and is a good argument for why agencies are good fits to launch software. So that's awesome. Joe, how can people follow what you're up to, get in touch, follow the podcast, et cetera?
Yeah, so you can go to digitaltriggers.io is where we host the podcast. It's called Show Me the Nuggets. We have a show. We're pushing back the schedule, doing it every 2 weeks now during the summer. I've got to spend some more time with the kiddos. And then the other platforms are ppcadlab.com. We have ppcpredict.com, which we talked about a little bit today. And then one that we haven't talked about, which is our reputation management platform, where we're taking on BirdEye and the other big multi-million dollar VC-backed companies. And that one's been really fun. That's the latest one that just launched, and that's reviewgrower.com.
Awesome. You're picking lots of fights, man, but I love it.
I like picking lots of fights. I like being the underdog in the market. I like going to bat for agencies. I like becoming a better solution that fits them better and focusing on them. That's me. That's who I was. That's like talking to myself, you know, 5 years ago. So really, really enjoy the marketplace.
Awesome. And we'll get all that linked up. And Joe, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Again, today's episode is sponsored by our company, Sales Schema. Sales Schema helps agencies and B2B service companies build a reliable business development system through tasteful and targeted outreach. To learn more about us and check out our latest video training, again, you can go to salesschema.com/take charge. Again, that's salesschema.com/take charge.